Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Christmas carols tell of a vast multitude of angels flying over the sleepy town of Bethlehem. They came to make the announcement of all time that unto you a Savior is born. Today, the apex of all angelic appearances, as a night sky was ablaze with light. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer continues a three-part series on the angels of Christmas. Now, let's relive the wonder of the angels of Bethlehem.
In this all too brief series that we've had on the topic of angels, we've learned, first of all, that angels have independent existence. Angels have a mind, they have an emotion, they have will, they can choose, they can think, they can travel. And then we've also learned that there are good angels and there are bad angels. The good angels are referred to in the scripture as the elect angels, the holy angels of God. But there are other angels, fallen angels, evil angels, deceitful angels. They also exist. And there's no doubt that some people who think that they are in touch with good angels are actually in touch with the other kind, because there are angels of deception. But I suppose of all the stories of the angels in the New Testament, there is none as great, as wonderful, nor as often told as the one that took place on the outskirts of Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2, of course, is the scripture as we often read during the Christmas season. And we don't know whether or not the angels actually chanted these words or whether they sang them, but either way, the angels came to bring some good news to shepherds. And last time we learned that angels actually model obedience for us when the angel Gabriel was sent. By the way, that really means one who is mighty with God. It's a wonderful name. And when those angels came to the shepherds, undoubtedly they also modeled the same kind of obedience. We have every reason to believe that they came to the shepherds because they were sent there by God. Because remember, the good angels don't do anything unless they're commanded to do it. They do the bidding of the Almighty. And in this, they are also our examples because of their obedience. They went where they were sent. God chose shepherds to receive the news. And why the shepherds? Well, first of all, because of what they did. Shepherds were lowly. Shepherds were considered to be the basic bottom line of society. You could almost say the scum of society. They were not highly regarded. And so God here bypasses Athens with its philosophers and Rome with all of its architects, Jerusalem with its rabbinical schools. And God goes to some shepherds and he says, I'm giving you the news first. The scripture always says that God stoops to those who are lowly of heart. And most assuredly, he did that in this instance. There's another reason why they were sent to the shepherds, possibly because of who they were. They were shepherds, and no matter the fact that their profession was not highly regarded, they represent that Jesus himself is the good shepherd. In fact, in the New Testament, it says that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So maybe God was thinking, now, angels, I want you to find some shepherds because my son who is born, he himself is a shepherd, the good shepherd, and he's going to die as a shepherd. So go talk to some shepherds. As a matter of fact, it might be that these shepherds were actually taking charge of sheep that were going to be slaughtered in the temple. That would make a lot of sense. Recently, I've been reading the book of Leviticus, and I'm absolutely overwhelmed by the number of animals that were killed. In fact, when you read that book as an adult and you're finally looking at it with some perspective, it's difficult for us to really even understand it. In the morning, there were to be lambs slain. In the evening, if you sin, you bring this lamb, and on it goes. So they needed a lot of lambs. They needed a lot of sheep. And it might be that these shepherds were taking care of sheep that were going to be slaughtered. And God was thinking, when my lamb is going to be slaughtered, these sheep will no longer have to die in the context of sacrifices, because the one who has been born is going to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So angels go to the shepherds. As far as the angels are concerned, it wouldn't have mattered to them at all where they were sent. That was not important. Whether it was a lowly position to a king or to a shepherd, that did not matter. What really mattered is that they pleased and they obeyed the one who sent them. And you and I should not really care as to where we are sent, where we are called to, as long as we're pleasing the one who has given us directions. We should be glad to fulfill his orders and his commands. Then secondly, they gave the message they were given. Let's look at the text now. Verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and we'll look at the rest of the text in just a moment. Remember, these angels were there at creation. They saw the beauty of Jesus even before creation took place. And they saw his exaltation, they saw his glory before he came to Bethlehem. What were these angels doing throughout all of these centuries? You read Isaiah chapter 6. There they are in the presence of God saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And you say, well, but that was Jehovah who was on the throne. When you read the New Testament, you discover in John chapter 12 that Jehovah was Jesus on that throne. So they saw the splendor and the wonder of Jesus. Then they saw man's humiliation, his fall into sinfulness, and being in league with Satan in rebellion. They saw the depths of man's sin and helplessness. And then for God to become a baby, for him to assume human flesh, and then of all things to be born in an inn and laid in a manger, for that to happen, this must have just made the angels filled with awe. And so the lead angel, an angel of the Lord, came. Now, we don't know who that angel was. Maybe it was the angel Gabriel, the same one who had given the message to Mary. But an angel came, and he indeed was the bearer of good news. And immediately with him, the scripture says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is the Shekinah glory. That glory left Israel centuries earlier. You can read about it in the book of Ezekiel, where the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, left the temple area, went over the Mount of Olives, and then disappeared as a judgment because God says, "I'm leaving you because of your sin and your idolatry." Now that same glory appears on the outskirts of Bethlehem. The glory of the Lord comes, and then the whole host participate, and they sing and they chime in. Someone has said, there is no place where earth's joys and sorrows are more felt than in heaven. And notice the specificity of the message. Born unto you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem was considered the city of David because David grew up close to Bethlehem. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths. That's strips of cloth that are wrapped tightly around a baby to restrict movement and to give the child, the infant, a sense of security. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That's how you will identify this child, so that the shepherds could not mistake who it was that they went to see. And so the message comes to them. It is Spurgeon who says, "All the attributes of God were in that little child, most marvelously displayed and veiled. Conceive the whole sun to be focused to a single point, and yet so softly revealed as to be durable by the most tender eye. Even thus the glorious God is brought down for man to see him born of a woman." So the angel knew where Jesus was born. They knew the city. They knew the manger. They knew how he was dressed. And they said, "That's where you can now go." The angels, remember, accepted and gave the message that they'd been given. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, but don't you love quotations from Spurgeon? He was a great 19th century preacher in England, able to say such things vividly, clearly, and with a great deal of conviction. You know, we here at Running to Win want to do all that we possibly can to help you in your Christian life. And even as we anticipate Christmas and the coming of a brand new year, we have a special gift for you. It's a devotional that I have written. D.L. Moody also contributes. And together, what we have done is to give you an opportunity to begin each day with a verse of Scripture. And then, of course, after having read the commentary, to respond to it both in prayer and in action. For example, some of the issues that we deal with has to do with the confession of sin, the idolatry of the human heart, daily assurance of God's love, and a daily call to witness for Christ in our life as well as our lips. I think that this will be an ideal gift for someone at Christmas, but also an ideal gift for you. You may be looking for a new devotional. Frequently, I have been asked to write one. Well, here it is. And of course, if you want it before Christmas, this would be a wonderful time to connect with us. And thank you in advance for helping us as together we do run toward that finish line.
The angels who announced the message of salvation over Bethlehem were part of a larger company of angels that surround the throne of God. Next time on Running to Win, a look at the role of angels in the plan and purpose of God, who they are, and what they do. We'd like you to have a brand new daily devotional in time for the new year. It's called simply Running to Win, and has one verse per day with comments from both Pastor Lutzer as well as D.L. Moody. It's yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.